This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Hello, everyone.
And we've got a guest who has been on Faith in Action any number of times, a bunch of times, but it's always fascinating because his particular job changes every time the political landscape changes, so to speak, or the different situations in the world change.
Yep. Have a different issue. Always
that,
interesting.
That we want to address.
Our guest today is Glenn Tebbe. He is the executive director of the Indiana Catholic Conference. Welcome to Faith in Action, Glenn.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And Glenn and I have worked together for a long time back in the State House way long time ago when I was on staff at the legislature and he was working for INPEA, right?
Right, yeah.
And now he is executive director for the Indiana Catholic Conference. And why don't you, well, tell us a little bit about yourself. Were you always Catholic? How'd you get into this business?
Interesting. Yes, I've always been I'm a born Catholic and raised Catholic, and I'm 69 years full of Catholic. So that's who I am, and proud of it. I got into this. I spent over 20 years in Catholic education as a teacher and principal, and I spent another 10 years then working, as you mentioned, INPA, which is the Indiana Non-Public Education Association that represents Catholic schools and other Christian schools. And I kind of married my avocation of public policy with my vocation of education in that role. But for the last 14 now, this beginning my 15th year, I've been asked to serve as the representative of the Catholic bishops with the Indiana Catholic Conference.
So what is the Indiana Catholic Conference? They maybe have heard the name, but they're not really sure what it is and what you do, because people don't know much about that kind of job unless you're in that role.
Sure. Well, the Indiana Catholic Conference, the word conference is kind of a misnomer, at least in the way people think of the word conference today. But conference really is an old word, kind of conferring, coming together. And so the Indiana Catholic Conference is where the five dioceses of Indiana, the five bishops, come together to form a one voice, one entity, to be unified in whatever it is that they wish to do in as a collegial unity. And that most often is in public policy, most often as a voice of the Catholic Church as public policy is either developed or is implemented. So my role is to be that voice, that opportunity to bring the Catholic perspective as laws are being developed or as to the executive branch or agencies as laws are being implemented and put into practice. That's our primary role, but the conference has from time to time works to bring publishing things together as opposed to doing it five separate times, doing it as a unity. And as part of my role to bring the public, the Catholic perspective into the public policy, one aspect of that is to enable the Catholic faithful and others who have, you know, people of goodwill that wish to join with us in a particular effort, to allow the Catholic faithful to have their voice, to be a part of that as citizens and as not even as a citizen, just as a member of the community, if you're, a non-citizen for that matter, you have an obligation to provide for the common good, to help see that, to contribute to that. And the Catholic Conference then allows, through our website and through our education and through our information that we keep trying to provide to the public, that opportunity to do that.
Now, I know for a lot of people, myself included, the term lobbyist kind of has a negative connotation of somebody who secretly is supplying elaborate gifts to Congress people to influence their opinion or whatever. And, in that context, lobbyist may not be a good thing. But basically, you are a lobbyist for the church.
Yes, I am.
At the state legislature.
I am a registered lobbyist for the church here in Indiana. And we work with the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops on the federal level, and I'm directly working with on the state level as well. So it's not it's not a dirty word. I mean, there are honorable lobbyists, and unlike many in the lobby community where they are able to
have a pack or something.
Have a pack or provide other kinds of opportunities.
Gifts or stuff.
Opportunities. Sure. We do not.
Right.
The church is not. We do not. We cannot have a pack. We don't have a pack. We don't endorse candidates or particular people. We do advocate with regard to issues, and that's where our role is. So,
talk about the consistent life ethic and how really what is our framework. What's the Catholic Conference and the Catholic Church's framework as it looks at issues? We talk a lot about the consistent life ethic. Would you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, and I think I can maybe break it down even a little bit more simply is that the Catholic Church looks at all, or anthropology and everything else begins with the fact that each person is made in the image and likeness of God, and there's a dignity and a sacredness that's there. And so that's the beginning piece. And with that, then we have the idea of the principle of solidarity and that we are social beings as well. And our relationship with God, but our relationship with others. And we have responsibilities and to one another. So solidarity is a very important part of how we approach the issues. And thirdly is subsidiarity, where the subsidiarity comes in is that it's not good for Big Brother, if you will, to always control everything. Family, the individual and family come first. and families need to be supported, and that's why communities are there, and the church is there to enable families to fulfill their responsibilities. And so the community has responsibility in that part of that solidarity. But from time to time, individual communities, too, cannot always provide for what's needed in the common good. And so therefore you have a regional or a state, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so in each level has its own responsibilities within and without. And so that idea of subsidiarity is that we bring that perspective in terms of making sure there's a balance when laws are written or regulations are enacted or enforced.
If you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Glenn Tubby. He is the executive director of the Indiana Catholic Conference, and he was talking about the perspective of the church and bringing that to the public policy square, the public square. If you want to continue with what you're saying, or I have another question.
Go right ahead. Okay. I'd probably run out anyway.
Okay, so let's talk about a little bit about religious liberty. I know the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops is. Every year they had the Fortnight for Freedom, and now they're doing something new in terms of, you know, promoting religious freedom. Can you talk a little bit about what religious freedom is and how that impacts us as Catholics and how that's important for us to be able to share our faith, not just behind the four walls, but in the public square?
Yes. Well, religious liberty or religious freedom, it's kind of both are used simultaneously or interchangeably, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fundamental right. It's written within it's the part of the very first amendment to the Constitution of the United States, and it's actually the very beginning of that first amendment. It says, you know, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The Establishment Clause is what oftentimes is what is most people think about in terms of separation of church and state and so forth. But the other equal part of that is or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And that's what has become a problem in the United States is that too often people think of religious freedom as only freedom to worship.
Mm-hmm. And that term is actually being kind of used, the buzzword.
It's supplementing as opposed to that's what religious liberty is, freedom to worship. It's not. I mean, that's part of it. It's a very important part of it, but it's not only part of it. Religion is this prohibiting the free exercise thereof allows one to have an integrated life. Religion informs your values. It helps you understand who you are and what your purpose is and what you hope to accomplish in this world and hopefully being happy in the next. So enabling you to live that authentic life is what freedom of religion really is. And that means expression not only in terms of who your values are and how you live your life, what your priorities might be, and how you engage in the world. So very often what's happened is that religion has now become seen as discriminatory. Mm-hmm. That's be the new buzzword. And really, that's not what religion does. Religion helps form who you are, giving you guidance as to how to live your life. And if you're not able to do that, then that's almost totalitarian, mm-hmm. in the sense that you're not, you can't do this, or you have to do that in a certain way. It's kind of totalitarian.
So it kind of prohibits, I mean, some of the new movement of just saying it's freedom of religion or freedom of worship versus freedom of free exercise, it really inhibits your ability to freely exercise if you reduce it to freedom of worship.
Exactly. It only says it's a private matter then within a church or synagogue or a mosque or some other place of worship. That is not what freedom of religion is, and that's what freedom of a religious liberty is. That's why it needs to be broader than that, and it is broader than that. Founding fathers clearly stated that, because they knew that religion formed who they were, and it gave them, animated how they structured themselves and their families and their society.
Glenn, what you're saying has, at least it's been my understanding, has always kind of been assumed and accepted and not challenged until the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years,
right,
or something like that. What has changed here? Why is all of a sudden there this big divide in the them and the us?
That's a very good question, and one that I don't know that I'm really qualified to answer very, very well. There's been an effort underway to categorize religion as being the reason that laws are discriminatory. And obviously religion was very much a part of the civil rights movement, because there are laws that are wrong. And mm-hmm. religion, that's part of what freedom of religion is to allow the church to be able to speak, not just individuals, but mm-hmm. the church as a group, as a community, to speak to an injustice or to a wrong. And that's part of what the prohibiting the free exercise thereof means, that the state really can't determine what a church is or how it should act or what it should do. Now, obviously, there are, with rights, there comes responsibilities. And so, obviously, you can't, you know, human sacrifice is not going to be something that's going to be tolerated. Right. But that's a matter of also figuring out, well, what are the limits? And those limits need to be carefully tailored so that it is something that does violate someone else completely. Mm-hmm. You know, it puts, in the case of human sacrifice, obviously killing, that's the ultimate limitation. But so there are ways in which that can be, but it has to be very narrowly tailored. It has to be the only option. It can't be, well, they can go ahead and do something else, we just can't let them do this. No, it's got to be something that is completely where it does restrict or completely take away from someone else. Not giving them an alternative is what it amounts to.
Mm-hmm. Well, we need to take a quick break. We're talking with Glenn Tebbe, Executive Director of the Indiana Catholic Conference. Please stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Listening to this radio was really like the jump start of me getting to know Jesus.
This is the station that led me to Christ.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Saturday is a different kind of day, so start it off right with Catholic Radio Indy's Saturday morning lineup. Forming Faithful Families at 9, I Choose Life at 9:30, Catholic Jukebox Indiana at 10, The Catholic Cave at 11, and two episodes of Faith in Action at noon. Every Saturday starting at 9 on Catholic Radio Indy.
Before the sun rises, and long after it sets, while you're waiting in traffic or winding down from your day, when you need us, we're here. Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. I'm here with my guest, Glenn Tebbe. He is the Executive Director of the Indiana Catholic Conference, which is the public policy voice in Indiana on public policy matters. We're talking about religious freedom. So, Glenn, what are some of the examples of how religious freedom or religious liberty have been infringed upon?
Slipping away.
Yeah, or slipping away that you can give us that impact our community, our faith community.
Well, it's begun many years ago already when some states decided to take away the ability of Catholic charities to provide adoptions because they were saying, well, adoption, they would only allow adoptions for married men and women families, intact families, as opposed to singles or homosexual families or families of same-sex marriage. And that became a problem that people thought was a problem, rather than saying, well, there are other places where these individuals can, if other agencies wish to make those placements, they could. We could still do what we want to do. Well, that was the beginning. The HHS mandate, when the ACA came through about requiring contraception coverage, and it gave a very narrow kind of exemption for a church, but another religiously oriented or religiously affiliated institution would have to provide it.
So like at Catholic hospitals were kind of looped into that. And
universities and others.
Yeah.
Little Sisters of the Poor.
Yeah. So that was another one where it came about. And, you know, it said, well, your religion discriminates against these individuals. And that really wasn't the case in terms of discrimination. We had a different perspective of being able to say what was best interest of the family or the persons involved. More recently, what we keep hearing from, and it's an issue that's in some states already, where they are allowing assisted suicide or providing for assisted suicide. They keep saying, well, if you're opposed to it, that's only you're imposing your religion on. Well, that's not. I mean, if you look at natural law, you can see that that's not really a good thing. And EMA and the medical associations and others have found this to be not very good in the long run.
In terms of just secular practice, you know?
So there's a real funny thing going on, though, because on some issues, the same groups that are saying religion discriminates and you shouldn't have your voice in the public square, some of these same groups who were saying that at the same time welcome the church's voice in public policy on the immigration issue right now, for example, and which is a immediate issue that's on everybody's mind, I think, in terms of separation of families and children from parents as they try to seek asylum in the United States. So they sometimes talk out of two sides of their mouth in terms of welcoming it and at the same time saying it shouldn't be there. In terms of what's going on immigration, you know, the church is one of the more vocal, not the only, but a very vocal voice with regard to this, because we see family as the primary cell, primary unit. We see God's gift of children entrusted to parents and not to, you know, obviously when someone, a parent or another person is harming an individual, then we do remove that child, or we find ways to mitigate the harm and take care of things. But in this case where individuals are trying to seek asylum, you're not mitigating harm. You are creating harm for the child and the children. So the church sees this as very much of a moral issue and a family issue that needs to be addressed appropriately. And it can be addressed if they just reverse a policy as opposed to changing what they've done up to this point.
And now that's all based not on current opinion or the facts that you just expressed there. It's not based on just a current political candidate or which way the wind's blowing today. It's based on what the church has always taught, which is what the church is.
Exactly. We've talked about the problem of the immigration policies here, or immigration law, for the last 25 years. We were talking about this in the late 90s already, saying that things need to be changed. And
comprehensively on the national level,
right,
to fix
and
it.
And not just changing our laws, but also looking at the root causes.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the church does respect the right of a country to control its borders. It has to. But there's a higher law here that says that the church, the state has that right, but the people have a right to be able to seek their good. And you have to find a way to make these laws that are practical and that accommodate both sides of the equation, not just one side or the other. So we've been saying that again, like I said, and this is, I said the last 25 years, that's been its, we've had this as a common issue that we've been talking about needed for change in our country for the last 25 years. What I'm saying in terms of the principles I'm talking about are centuries old, right?
Sure.
In the making, so
sure. All right. Well, that certainly is a controversial issue today. And I've referred people to your website at various times when something, an issue comes up that you people have an opinion on. They say, boy, I ought to write to my senator and tell him what I think about this or that. But they haven't a clue where to start. They don't even, maybe not even know what their name is.
Yeah.
And then they say, gee, if there was only a place I could go that would tell me, you know, who it is and how I get in touch with them.
Well, that's exactly what the Indiana Catholic Conference is here to do.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, thank you for that easy segue.
I had to do that.
Yeah, it seems like I set you up. You know, the Indiana CC, INDINACC.org, that gets you to our website. And there's a place where you can, there's a number of clicks that gives you different resources and so forth. But taking action is one of them. And if you just go there, you can put in your web, your zip code.
Yeah.
And once your zip code comes up, it'll give you who your congressman is, who your senator is, state or national. You could write the president from there. You can write your local mayor from there.
Wow.
It's a way for you to be able to contact through email, but there's also information there that if you want to make a phone call, you can probably do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But email is a very efficient and a very direct way to get your message across. And believe me, it makes a difference. Congressmen and our state senators, state representatives, believe it or not, do not hear that often from
right.
people.
Yeah, I know people say, well, I'm just one person. What if I, you know, who cares? But you'd be surprised, even in the radio business, when in a commercial radio business, if you get like a complaint from somebody, okay, well, you might ignore that. But two or three complaints, oh, we got to take this seriously.
Right.
If you get to 5 or 10, well, you better be thinking about how you're going to change something.
Right.
Because,
right.
you know, and it works that way, too. I mean, the numbers may be bigger than that, but still, if the...
Well, the numbers are probably close to similar.
Well, let me ask you this. The United States Catholic Conference of Bishops has a week of Religious Freedom Week from June 22nd through the 29th. What's that about, and what should we be paying attention to as Catholics with regard to that and religious liberty in general?
What they... bishops have asked us to do because of the eroding of the whole notion of what religious freedom is and what religious liberty is and its importance to the well-being of our society and
all people.
All people, Catholics, every other Christian or non-Christian religion, it's important to them as well. Is to bring this to the forefront to get on people's mind, and we need to kind of begin to look at changing. The mindset out there, the public mindset of it's just separation of church and state. No, it's more than that. Each has their distinctive roles to play, but there's also the role of religion within the public square. And if you go to usccb.org/Religious Freedom Week, there's a whole list of information there, resources that allow someone to take a look at things. And there's, even for teachers, there's lesson plans for this, for secondary education. There's information about why it's important, where it has been eroded. It's a time for people to get this into their head and begin to take a look at why this is important and speak up on its behalf.
In addition to that, it looks like they have intercessions for Mass. They have bulletin inserts. There's just a lot of really, really great resources for, you know, religious ed teachers and all that.
Yeah, it's not something that only has to happen this week. I missed it. No,
right.
There's information that can be used anytime during the year, and you can use it in a number of other ways. You can use it in your civic clubs. You can use it in your home ec club. I mean, there's other places where that information can be shared, besides in addition to the parish.
So locally, I mean, is there anything that we can do, or what we can be involved in terms of our faith community locally or in the state of Indiana? To partner with you at what you do?
Well, one of the things that I would hope people would do would be sign up on our website to be a part of our network, that would allow them to receive information from us on a regular basis, and an irregular one, meaning as things come up.
Sure.
That would give them the opportunity to learn about, get more information, and to then... It gives them opportunity to take action if they wish.
And they can do all that on the website, right?
Correct.
And give us the website one more time. And that's also where the little tool we talked about, not little tool, it's bigger than that. The tool that we talked about earlier to contact
the website legislators. Is, of course, www.indianacc. So it's
Catholic Conference.
Which means Catholic Conference.org. So indianacc.org.
If somebody listening has an opinion about any of the things that we've talked about that they want to share with their legislators, hey, that's what good citizenship, what patriotism is all about, is letting your legislators know what you're thinking.
Fulfilling your role, yes.
Absolutely.
And if they want to learn what the church teaches on a particular position, there's great resources there, or you can link up to the USCCB website.
And it is a great newsletter. It doesn't come out real often, but I got just the day we're recording this program, I got one this morning, report. And especially when the state legislature is in session, they're always talking about some bill that may or may not ever come to fruition, but it's nice to know where the church stands on it and how you might be able to express your opinion in the process as the bill's being considered.
Right.
And you're going to get a perspective, a Catholic perspective, that you're not really going to get elsewhere.
Yeah, that's our role, to provide that.
So thank you so much. Glenn Tebbe, Executive Director for the Indiana Catholic Conference, has been my guest today. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. I always enjoy it. I'm happy to be here anytime.
God bless. We'll be praying for you.
Thank you. I need that.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.